All right, welcome back to Between the Lines. Coming in on the next segment of the show, we're going to talk with Dennis Doucette. He's one of the owners of the Hotel Retlaw in downtown Fond du Lac, and they are planning for a grand opening this summer, undergoing a $25 million renovation. He'll join us in a little bit. Every Friday, the State Department of Health Services gives an update on the flu epidemic. We can call it that, a flu epidemic in Wisconsin. The number of cases continue to go up. St. Agnes Hospital in Fond du Lac averaging 9 to 13 patients a day. And we'll get the latest from Kim Miller, the Fond du Lac County Public Health Officer, coming up on the final segment of the show. The race for governor in full swing. There are several Democratic candidates vying for an opportunity to square off against Republican Governor Scott Walker in the November election. One of them is Mike McCabe. Mike, over the years, has been a regular on this program when he was with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He left a couple of years ago and formed Blue Jeans Nation. And now he is running for governor. On his business card, it says principal over party. Joining us in the studio on this segment of the show, and yes, he is wearing blue jeans, Mike McCabe. Mike, good to see you.
Good to see you, Greg. Thanks for having me.
When did you announce? How many months ago?
I became an official candidate on September 12th.
All right.
And, you know, I had to be talked into this over the course of quite a few months. It wasn't something that I was planning on doing over the course of my life, but we live in unusual times politically, and I think people are really hungry for a very different kind of leadership. So here I am, candidate for governor.
Are you as excited today as you were when you were on this program making that announcement back in September?
I'm more excited because the response we're getting everywhere we go, and our campaign has traveled over 40,000 miles since September 12th, just crisscrossing the state, and everywhere I go, the response has been fabulous, and so people are hungry for a real change in direction and for a very different kind of leadership, wherever I speak, wherever I meet people, they are enthused.
If you're traveling 40,000 miles, you need money just to fill up the car with gas, but yep, you also need advertising dollars. How are you doing in terms of fundraising?
Well, we're going to have the resources we need to run the kind of campaign we're going to run. I want this to be a 21st century version of how Bill Proxmire won elections for three decades in Wisconsin. You know, and he ran statewide and won for 30 years, and he never once spent over $300 on one of his statewide campaigns. Well, we're in a different time and a different place than Prox was back in his day.
You think he could win today spending $300?
Well, but we're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, yeah, but we're not going to spend millions or tens of millions. We're going to run a truly grassroots, people-powered campaign. This is about developing networks of volunteers in communities in every part of the state. This is about getting people talking to people. This is about pounding the pavement and doing grassroots campaigning. And today I'm in Fond du Lac. You know, the other day I was in Eau Claire. You know, I'm going everywhere across the state of Wisconsin. And
you're
and
in Fond du Lac all day.
Yeah, all day.
You're going to walk downtown after this interview.
Yeah,
meet with businesses.
Yep. Yeah, and just it was in West Bend last night and here today. I'm going to spend the whole day here tonight, and we've got a meet and greet this evening. And
Casa del Tequila, 6 o'clock this evening. That's the Mexican restaurant in North Fond du Lac, actually, I think. So people can stop by and see you there.
Yeah, yeah.
How many candidates are there now? 9 officially in the race?
Well, actually, there's 17 or 18 official candidates on the Democratic
side.
But most of them are, most people are sort of focusing on 9 of us and saying that we're the ones that are sort of the top contenders. I kind of wondered sometimes if we were eventually going to get to a Baskin-Robbins primary where there'd be 31 flavors.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's got to be difficult because you have to separate yourself.
Yeah.
There are going to be, I'm sure, a lot of those candidates, maybe even as many as half of them, are going to drop out before the primary.
Yeah, we'll
see. They're not going to have the money to. The reality will sink in for some of these candidates that they just don't have the resources to stay in the race, I would think.
Yeah, you know, there may be people drop out. I don't think we're going to get anybody added to the field. I think the field is full now. But I'll tell you, for me, I'm in this race because of what does separate me from the rest of the crowd. Because of all that work I did for all those years as an independent watchdog, I'm a very different candidate. All the other candidates are very accomplished people, but it strikes me that they all have one thing in common that I don't share with them. They all seem very comfortable operating within the political system as it currently functions. They all seem at peace with the political culture as it is, and I'm not. I think the political culture in Wisconsin has been poisoned. I think the system is failing regular people. It works really, really well for a wealthy and well-connected and privileged few, for those at the very top, for those who have lobbyists prowling the halls of the Capitol working on their behalf. It works really well for those few, but it leaves so many people in Wisconsin behind it. It leaves them without a voice and without representation. I want to shake up and transform that system so that we can get regular people in the driver's seat of our government.
Governor Scott Walker did that, and the Republican legislators did that when they passed Act 10. That was a shakeup, whether you liked it or not. It was a shakeup. It was something that nobody saw coming. Would you, if you were elected governor, is Act 10 settled in your mind, or would you work to reverse it?
Well, Act 10 won't prove to be a sustainable policy over the long haul. And at some point, we're gonna have to deal with the fact that it will lead our state to a point where it's just not sustainable. Look, in schools, for example, we've got more and more veteran teachers leaving the profession early, and we've got fewer young people entering the teaching profession, going into teacher training to join the profession. That sets us up for chronic teacher shortages, really a teacher exodus in this state. That's going to have devastating effects on our schools over the long haul. At some point, Wisconsin's going to have to say, can we continue down a path that has more and more veteran teachers leaving early and fewer young people wanting to join the profession? And the biggest losers in this process, the earliest, will be small rural school systems. I talk to local school officials in rural areas who have openings and no applicants for those openings. They can't fill a teaching position. And then some of their best teachers are being poached by the larger suburban or urban school systems. They're taking their best teachers. Those rural school systems are in crisis, and some of them can't afford to remain open. I'm from Clark County. I grew up on a dairy farm in Clark County near a little town named Dorchester, which is going through an agonizing process right now of deciding whether to close its elementary school and ship their kids off to Abbotsford. That's happening all over our state. Those kinds of conditions are not sustainable. We have to have a decent education system if we're going to have a healthy economy, if we're going to compete in the 21st century. And we are watching our schools in decline.
There is that proposal to give rural schools something like $7 million more, allow low-spending districts to raise property taxes without a vote. Do you support that?
But that's a drop in the bucket and won't save Dorchester, and it won't save a whole bunch of other small, vulnerable schools that are teetering on the brink. For 7 years, Wisconsin was leading the nation in cuts to education. And now that those who are in charge at the Capitol are trying to do a little bit of an about face and say, hey, let's provide a little funding to these schools that... So we were leading the nation in cuts to education, and now they're adding a little bit back to try to win an election in 2018. But the damage that's been done over the last 7-8 years, we have to do a significant about face and recommit ourselves as a state to funding education.
What would you do specifically for funding public education if you were governor?
Well, one of the things that we've got to deal with is the fact that Wisconsin is trying to fund two parallel systems of education, and we're not doing justice by funding one. So I would end taxpayer-subsidized private schooling, the voucher program. It is siphoning resources away from community schools, especially those in rural areas. It's weakening those schools. The promise 27 years ago when that program was started is that it would boost student achievement. It hasn't done that. Voucher students don't do any better than their public school counterparts, and by some measures they do worse. And then the promises that it would drive school improvement, it hasn't. It's siphoned money away from public schools and weakened them. So I think there should be a basic rule in government. If a program works, keep it and fund it. If a program doesn't work, get rid of it. By that standard, we should end taxpayer-subsidized private schooling.
What do you think of the governor's plan to give parents a child tax credit this fall before they go back to school?
You know, and so many...
It sounds like something you might... propose.
Yeah, it's interesting. The governor went one way for 7 years, and now that he's in an election year, he's reversing course on things like road funding, school funding, health care, manure spreading, rural development. On so many issues, he's now saying, oh, I'm not going to go the direction that I went for the last 7 years. I'm going to do something new. To me, that's just a sign that he's very nervous about the political landscape he faces in 2018. And look, you can't go one way for 7 years and then do a flip-flop on a few issues and not have people say, is that even real? Is that authentic? You know, do you really stand for anything if you have led us in one direction for 7 years and then say in an election year, you know what, let's go in the opposite direction?
When I moved here in the late 80s, Governor Thompson was in office. The economy was strong. Unemployment was extremely low, probably in the 3 to 5% range. Governor Scott Walker was on this program last week, and he is crisscrossing the state touting record low unemployment, 2.3% in the city of Fond du Lac. I've never seen it that low in the 3 decades I've lived here. What about that? The Republicans are saying our policies have contributed to record low unemployment. I don't know if it's a change in the way the figures come out, but you can't argue that. I mean, 2.3%. I don't know if it can go any lower.
There's no question you can find work out there. The question is whether people can find work that keeps them in the middle class. So far in the 21st century, no state in America has seen more shrinkage of its middle class than Wisconsin. We're leading the nation in shrinkage of the middle class. We're dead last in the nation in new business startups for 3 straight years. We've got levels of economic inequality now in Wisconsin not seen in this state since the Great Depression. So yes, you can find work out there. I talk to people all the time who have got 2 or 3 jobs, but they can't, even with 2 or 3 jobs, they can't stay in the middle class. So yes, we've got an economy that is enriching a few at the very top, but it is leaving so many people behind, and we have got people who are falling out of the middle class, and it's happening faster in Wisconsin than any other state. We need to build an economy where if you work, you won't be poor. We need to dedicate ourselves to be a state where the words working poor get erased from our vocabulary. If you work, you should not live in poverty. If you work, you should be in the middle class. We don't have that economy. And we keep trying to build an economy from the top down, showering tax breaks and state subsidies on a few with the hopes that some will filter down to the rest of us. No, we've got to do an about face and build that economy from the bottom up. We've got to empower 5.5 million people in the state to do more for themselves and for each other so that they can be in the middle class.
If you want to meet Mike McCabe, Democratic candidate for governor, you can stop by Casa del Tequila, 6 o'clock this evening on North Peters Avenue. A Democratic candidate for governor, Mike, great to see you in person. Best of luck on your campaign.
Thanks so much, Greg.